quickly the waters of the river of life flow, and they go before us, and we cannot even catch up to them. And so too is time, and liturgical time as well. And we are in that sort of mid-season where it is still Christmas, it is still Epiphany, but yet we are preparing to celebrate Septuagesima and the seasons of penance for which he has come. And so here we have many, many wonderful ideas. We cannot preach about all of them. And of course, it is a little bit amusing, but not, that I could ask you, each and every one of you, if we were going to look at the longer reading which was read today from St. Paul's Epistle to the Corinthians. What part of the body are you? Who knows what you would say? Most people would want to be the brain, but a brain cannot walk on its own. Most people would want to be eyes, but the eyes cannot float on their own. And I would say go on and on throughout all the parts of the body. And so, which one are you? But yet, it doesn't matter what part of the body you are part of the body. If you have been baptized in Christ Jesus our Lord, which of course we have been celebrating also during this season of the Epiphany. The second phase of the Epiphany was the baptism. The third was the wedding feast at Cana, which we celebrated last week. The first time Jesus performed publicly a miracle, a very grandiose miracle, which led the newly called apostles and disciples to believe in him. Because other than that, they only had his word. Now, you could say, well, his word is enough. But if you don't know anything, his word is not enough. So it had to be coupled with miracles. And so here, we continue as we prepare to celebrate the rest of the liturgical year. And we begin today with the Gospel of St. Luke, the beloved physician, to whom the Blessed Mother in particular told many of the secrets of the birth and the childhood and the youth of Christ. The joyful mysteries of the Rosary, they all come from her to him to us, which are most wonderful. And then, of course, he says he begins to write it down little by little as it happened. And he addresses this gospel to all of us. Now you say, well, he says, most excellent Theophilus. Maybe there was a real Theophilus, maybe not. Theophilus means lover of God. And so are you a lover of God? If that is so, then you are Theophilus. Unless you're a woman, you're Theophila. Because there is male and female, only two genders in this church and in this country. And so, Theophilus. So, he takes up, after the Epiphany, because we move back and forth in time in the liturgy, we'll be back again next Sunday, when we will celebrate the wondrous presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple, which officially ends the Christmas season. And he takes us forward to when Christ, after these mysteries have been accomplished, after they have gone and come from Egypt, out of Egypt I have called my son, after the events at the Jordan and at the feast of a wedding feast at Cana, when he established the sacrament of holy matrimony between one man and one woman, not two, not three, but one and one. And then he begins his public ministry in calling the disciples and apostles one by one. And he comes to Nazareth, This is very important. This ceremony is imitated and repeated in the Church of Rome. When a pope is elected, even though he's elected by the cardinals and he is crowned and so forth, it is not until he goes to the Cathedral of Rome, the Church of the Most Holy Redeemer of St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist, which we call the Lateran Basilica, because it was originally owned, the palace and the church, by the Lateran family of Rome, from whom Constantine and Helena took it or received it. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It belongs to the church now, since the year about 318 or so. And it is there, the Cathedral of Rome. In the portico, there is inscribed in the beautiful columns, which are much later on, they're from the 18th century. This is the mother church of the city, that means Rome, always in all the different documents, Rome is referred to as the city. My doctoral decrees and so forth that I have in my office and elsewhere, they say the University of St. Thomas Aquinas in urbe, in the city, Rome. That's what it stands for. And then it says, the mother church in the city and of all the world. Of course, this is a holy year, a jubilee year, in which people are encouraged to go to the great basilicas. And of course, here we have the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima and the miraculous statue of Our Lady, through which even now miracles are being done. So we come here to this church of God, to the house of God, and to receive the blessings of this jubilee. And then he sits down, and if you notice, under usual circumstances, when the Pope teaches, he sits down on the throne. He doesn't preach standing up like I am preaching. I'm not the Pope, nor have any desire whatsoever to be a Pope. Only God knows how much troubles there are associated with that, and a great danger of damnation as well. So he sits down on the throne that has been restored recently and put in display, and later on it will be inserted back into the great gloria of Gian Lorenzo Bernini in the apse of the basilica. And then he begins to teach. So our Lord sits down to teach. Most likely he never actually stood up to teach. He always sat down, even if only on a rock. And then he fulfills that which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Anointed Messiah. That's what the word Messiah means, anointed. In the person of Jesus Christ, the human nature is anointed by the divine nature in the one person who is both God and man. He has anointed me. He is the Messiah. That is what he's saying. To bring glad tidings to the poor. Is he bringing welfare and food stamps? No. He's bringing the gifts for us all who are really poor, because we are not yet saints in heaven. We are spiritually poor, and we need to strive to become rich spiritually, not financially. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, to sin, and recovery of sight to the blind. The people who do not believe, who do not follow Christ, are blind. And we see them all around us. They're totally blind. They do not know which way is up and which way is down, which way is left and which way is right. They are blind. And to let the oppressed go free. Who those people who are oppressed by demons. And of course, they were terrified of him. And they proclaimed him as God. "What art thou doing here, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God? Leave us alone. Let us go." And then he dismisses them. Because even the devil can do nothing without the permission of God. And that may seem strange to us, but that's the way it is. And to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, a jubilee year, which we celebrate in this year of our Lord, 2025. And then he rolls the scroll up, didn't yet have volumes like we do. And what does he say? "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Here it is. "I am here. I am the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come to do all this for you. Believe and be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."